Monday, March 9, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:40 p.m.
All right, it's 1:02. We'll go ahead and start our regular meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Martin?
Here.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
The current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with public comment. If anybody has any public comment regarding anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right, doesn't appear that we have any public comment today. So we're going to move on to consent agenda items. Approval of previous minutes from February 24th, 2020, and approval of accounts payable. Came in a little while ago and went through accounts payable, just the insurance stuff this time. So not a lot to it, and went through that, and everything seemed to be in order.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A and B, the minutes and accounts payable claims.
Second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah. New business, board to approve payroll claims from the period February 23rd to March 7th. And like I said, there were just those few that I looked through, and payroll seemed to be in order. I went ahead and got through all those in a timely fashion. We might look at doing something a little bit different because it's so hard for them to get all of that done for this 1 o'clock meeting, because a lot of those timesheets don't come in. So when they go through there, so we'll probably be looking for a remedy to that in the future. We've got a couple different options we might try.
Okay.
But everything seems to be in order today.
Okay. Move to approve the payroll.
Do you want to make a contingent on Kim?
If they're not
Kim
completed,
would like to give
then
you wording for
yeah, on the ones that weren't, that haven't been reviewed yet completely, making it contingent upon compliance with the county handbook, the bargaining agreements, and state federal law.
So,
because there have been a few that
where a time card wasn't ready to go at this meeting, and then we could approve a contingent on it, meeting all of the stipulations that Kim said.
That's my motion.
Okay. I second that.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Did you say you wanted to do a correct or do something different about that, or is that a different?
That's a different issue. We might look at a time frame. Yeah. Okay. We'll, in the future, we'll look at some. And this here, what we just talked about with Kim, will probably take care of that.
Okay.
So if anything comes in late, they can go ahead and review it, and then I can just sign it after the meeting.
Okay.
All right. We'll go ahead and have a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens an opportunity to offer support, opposition, and make neutral comments regarding the revision of zoning regulations section 900-2, wind energy installations. Joe, you want to step up and tell us a little bit about what's going on with regards to that?
Our old regulations were completely out of date as far as the size of the new wind energy systems that are going in.
Okay.
So we went through that step by step. I was in contact with SEMCO, and we, in conjunction, we kind of wrote up a current regulation to meet all the heights and setbacks and everything. And it gives the people of Dakota County a little more protection as far as when these are decommissioned and who's responsible for clearing it out and how far down and all that. So
okay.
We just wanted to protect everybody in the county. We didn't want to be so hard on them that they didn't want to come to Dakota County. But if they did, mm-hmm. the people and the landowners in Dakota County were kind of covered.
All right, well, thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
So if they come, do they do a, I mean, I don't really know how that works. Each, do they negotiate with different landowners, or do they?
They have to sign a lease agreement with every landowner that they put up a tower or a building. And in some of the other counties, we found out that they threw all the responsibilities back on the landowner, and we wanted the company that's putting up all these towers to take responsibility to clean that
take
out
them back down.
Right. Get it out.
I did see they had all the, you know, the decommissioning. All
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And we had some, they got to have an agreement with the roads department mm-hmm. to maintain all that.
Do they have to, does a company, before they start the process in a particular county, have a public meeting or not really? Or is it?
They would, because they'd have to come to us and meet and show that they're meeting all the regulations, have okay. the proper permits with the airports in the area. And
they'd have to get a building permit from folks
okay.
also.
Yeah.
So there would
so,
be.
So, yeah,
hear.
They would have to. We would hear before it would be approved.
Oh,
to,
oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, way before okay. anything yep. could go on
They couldn't
on the
just
ground.
Come in and start building.
They'd have
yeah,
to have
yeah,
an
yeah
agreement.
That's what I wanted to make
yeah.
sure that we would be aware,
yeah,
apprised
yeah.
of. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
You
Sorry.
Bet. All right. Is there anybody that wants to offer support of the changes to the planning and zoning with regard to wind energy? Anybody want to give any evidence or speak with regard to opposition? Any neutral comments? All right, I'd like to thank Planning and Zoning for putting that information together, and we'll go ahead and make a motion.
Close.
Or close the hearing.
Okay. 109.
Should have a motion, but I did not put that on as an action item on the agenda. I think that's okay to, next
take a motion.
Yeah, to do it next time.
No.
There's no rush.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion to accept the recommendations of Planning and Zoning with regard to the wind energy changes they made to their codes.
Second.
Roll call on that motion. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, next we have Fred Kellogg with the road report. Fred's unable to be with us. He's at a funeral today. So you can go ahead and take a little time and look through the road report.
We had an issue on Blyberg with all the ice and snow coming down off Ponderosa. Made it pretty bad to get through, but I talked to Fred about it and see about maybe having to dig out that south side maybe a little bit, because it was pretty sloppy. But
that was run across the road by Gables, just east of Gables Drive.
Yeah.
And too much gravel rock down there, Freddy.
Okay.
Thursday. Friday, I think.
Yeah, I didn't get back
it's
down
like
there.
Thursday.
Because that was...
That thing always It always softens up when it runs down that paving. And
it froze up down in there. The ditch was full of ice here a while back.
Yep.
And then it just started coming over across the road. Well, it wasn't quite as bad as long as it was froze. When it started thawing out, it had become an issue. But I don't know if you could. There were some complaints about the water going over the road because of some of the guy that farms it down below. And he didn't want the water. Well, I don't know. It's one of the things. So I don't know if a deeper ditch might help it, you know, but it's a shaded area. Mm-hmm. And anything running down could be liquid up there, but then when you get down around in the shaded area, it frees up.
And it's not like it's just running down that road. If you make the ditch deeper, that whole bluff side, you know, is going to come down into that area, too.
It would.
All of the water off of that. So.
And I think there's even springs right in the ditch there.
There is. Yeah. There has to be. As the way that stays wet all through the summer, even. And I think the water level is so high right now that water's. I know that they're having trouble at the Econo House right now with moisture in their basement. And they're also, Dwayne and Joyce Jenkins live just up the road from them, and their sumps are running around the clock. It's hard to believe, but, you know, that as that moisture percolates down through those bluffs, it's got to go somewhere, and those water tables down there are really high.
Yeah, no, South Bluff isn't near that bad this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at all. I mean, I'm surprised. I thought there'd be more of an issue, but it's a lot better than last year.
All right. Board to approve chair to sign an agreement with JEO regarding the bid awarded for inspection of the county bridges in 2020. Board to appoint Fred Kellogg as the highway superintendent and contact person. So JEO is going to be our inspection service for...
We awarded that bid and then we asked them to sign a contract, and we corrected the number of bridges and corrected the claims going to 45 days before we got a financial penalty, so I think we're okay with it.
Very good.
Well, I'll make a motion for the chair to sign that agreement with JEO.
I'll sign that.
How many bridges are involved in this?
The bridge for August of 2020, the bridges to be inspected are 38, and there are in October of 2020 there are two fracture critical. Let me double check. I said that right?
Yep.
38 total. 36 standard and two fracture critical.
Okay.
For 38. Total for $16,400.
This was the one we talked about at the last meeting, right?
Yeah.
So 36 standard inspections and two fracture critical.
Yeah, two fracture critical.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
And then I will make a motion to approve Fred Kellogg as the contact person for this.
I'd second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we'll go to the GO report. Sheriff is under the weather today, so Kevin, you want to hop in and give us a little overview?
Yes. For February, the county averaged 65 county inmates, 36 federal, 0.07 juveniles, for a total average of 101 per day. The 2020 calendar average was 65 county inmates, 37 federal, 0.03 juveniles, and 102 total. The 1920 fiscal average was 71 county inmates, 38 federal, 0.6 juveniles, and the average was 109. We don't have the federal income figures. There is income, just just, it's not on the report here. The average cost per inmate per day for February was $88.46, so we're still running high. I don't know. I would imagine medical bills. That seems to be what always bumps us. The jail spent $263,000 for the month of February. It is currently at 70% of the total estimated yearly budget, or 3% over for the fiscal year. It was at 66% of the total estimated yearly budget in February 2019. It spent $35,897.51 more than it was allotted for February, and they were 13.5% over budget. February bookings, 17 from Dakota County, 28 from South Sioux, 4 from NSP, 22 self or court, 32 federal, 4 others, for a total of 107. 38 were Dakota County residents, 18 from other Nebraska counties, 28 from Sioux City, 18 from other Iowa jurisdictions, and 5 from other states, and 0 homeless.
The number that always gets my attention is the number of people that booked into this jail that are non-Dakota County residents, you know, and almost two-thirds of the people that are booked in your jail, and then that's all part of living on the border, but borderline, it's a big number.
Yeah.
Tiffany Hansen, Health Department Director, is going to give us our quarterly report.
Hello, everybody. Hi. So the Health Board met on February 27th. Month end we looked at was through January of 2020, so the Health Department was at 61% and with no projected increases in expenses, so I imagine we will be on track for the budget and not over. Planning, we are rolling out a new MHI program. I kind of talked about it at our last kind of touch point, but our minority health program had some changes, and so now they've rolled to strictly diabetic program services, and so we're working closely with Sioux Lake Community Health Center and our community health workers to get essentially their diabetic minority patients onboarded with our community health workers, who will be doing aggressive case management with those individuals. And so they'll be going out doing home visits and setting goals and trying to reduce barriers in an effort to reduce their A1C levels by 1% over a 12-month period. So it's a feat, but Community Health Center is really excited about it. We're excited about it, and so we're just in the early stages. We've actually just launched the program March 1st, so we're in total infancy right now. Quality assurance-wise, we're working on our FAB accreditation funds, so that is the Public Health Accreditation Board, and so we're working to get a quality assurance or program, essentially management software that will monitor all of our work plans and all the data we're tracking across all the programs, which will make things a heck of a lot easier to present on, because we'll just have it in one area. Semi-annual report I gave to the board, which we do, immunization numbers, for the semi-annual six-month period, it was 509 kids were eligible for our Vaccines for Children program. They were vaccinated with 1,276 vaccinations over that time period. This runs pretty close to our 2018 numbers. So we were at 505 and 1,197 for 2018, so we're pretty similar. I don't project any real changes realistically. Funding-wise for that period, the Health Department was at $104,670.09, up from last year's semi-annual at $61,657. Bioterrorism, so this is our FEP funds and our preparedness funds. We submitted quarter two reports for $10,800 in reimbursement. Jen spent most of this quarter working on our ORR, which is the essentially planning document that the CDC asks us to grade ourselves against, essentially. And so Jen spends quite a lot of time going through, because you actually have to, for each indicator, match it to where it is in the plan and hyperlink all those things, and so it takes quite a lot of coordination. So that pretty much takes up all of her time one quarter. Immunization, we submitted quarter two reports for reimbursement of $10,900 for the quarter. This quarter, as we will now work into the next quarters, are really targeted on our adolescents. So if you hear your parents or see parents or hear the public say it, that they're getting a lot of letters from us, they probably have somebody between the 11 and 18 range. So we have a big push on our HPV vaccinations, our meningitis, and our meningitis B vaccinations. So those are the age groups for those, and we really want to make sure that parents are getting that information, and if they're missing it, that they're coming in or going to their providers. West Nile virus, so we're going to be gearing up for our next work plan season, and so we have the same type of work plan in order, so distribution of the wipes, the dunks, and then the mobile wipe stations at all the ball fields. Oops. I stapled this wrong.
What was that?
West Nile virus prevention, yep. Minority health, so we did finish up our quarter 10, which was the old program, so that wrapped up with reimbursement of $16,700. And now, as I explained, we're moving into a new cycle, so we're just getting started in that. A radon grant, we are still doing test distribution. So if people want radon test kits in the community, by all means, tell them to call us. We do that through the end of March, first part of April. We start to slow down on that because people start to open up their homes, and then they're just not as accurate. Surveillance, our numbers, so that's just our CDC reportable numbers, and everything seemed... it's been trending in the same direction that we've had for the last few months. So we had about 57 lead screenings that were in. We had 6 hepatitis B, 5 hepatitis C, some foodborne, 2 foodborne illnesses, norovirus case, and then we have about 56 STD tests that Natasha's been tracking. And so we do obviously notification of those for treatment and then partner notifications if we get those. Maternal child health. So this is our newest funding source. This is focused on our childhood obesity and physical activity efforts, essentially. And so we, over the course of January, met with some different stakeholder groups, so parents, school administrators, after-school programming staff, the Y, Heartland, just really kind of any partners that might be impactful to children. And I went over a series of questions, essentially what's happening in the community related to physical activity and what are some improvements that we can work towards. And Natasha got some really good ideas. Lewis and Clark had a really active parent group, so they had about 50 ideas. She collaborated those with the rest of the group and are hoping to do like a larger group meeting so we can work on getting to one strategy prior to August. So then we will move that into the implementation phase. That grant was for $2,237 this quarter. Any questions? I know you guys are just itching. Marty, what do you got?
Is there anything else going on?
Oh, yeah. Tiffany did submit her resignation as well to the board, and it was approved. So my last day will be April 16th. I know we are accepting applications through Friday. We've got 5 so far, and then the board's going to start screening those, and ideally that person will start before I leave, so I'll be able to help them.
What are you going to leave us?
I know. I'm actually moving to North Carolina, so... there, when I talked to them earlier this morning, they said it was about 75 there. So I'm like, wow, it's not terribly bad here, but you know. So I'm going to be doing the exact same thing for just the county health department there. And so I have told the board lots of times that I feel confident that we're going to find a good person and that they're going to continue to move programs forward. So I'm excited.
I want to take just a minute to thank you for everything that you've done for this health department in the time you're here.
Thank you.
You've always been great to work with, always on top of everything, and have appreciated everything that you've done. And you kind of downplay that you're going to another little health agency in North Carolina. So here you have a staff of?
Staff of 8 here.
And there you'll have a staff of?
135.
And I had interviewed, or I had talked to them a couple of times during her interview process, and I wanted to blackball her, but I just couldn't do it because she's done such a nice job for us. And like she said, you know, at every step of the process, she thought maybe that she wasn't going to be that person, or maybe it was something that she wouldn't get. And in the end, I think they saw the same thing that we see. And
It was a really extensive process, and I talked with Marty about it. It happened over the course of about a 6-month period with lots of just like back and forth and assessments and lots of different moving pieces, which after I kind of got into the trenches a little bit, then I just wanted to figure out how far I could go, essentially, because I'm a type A personality. And so then I wanted to figure out kind of how they were doing things, and their assessment process was really interesting because it was very detail oriented. So they did like mock staff meetings and mock one-on-one coachings and mock presentations, and just really thorough, I thought, and I was really kind of enlightened by the process itself. So yeah, so I appreciate that, and thank you so much. You guys have been very pleasant, and I appreciate you. And we will also be kind of moving along here in this coronavirus discussion as we move forward. So I know it was a kind of a discussion at the table a little bit, but we do have a South Sioux team that was present on the February 29th game in Fremont. And so we are watching those individuals as well, same CDC guidance for players, coaches, and support staff. We want them to self-isolate and either report to us or report to the state. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm sure as this plays out over the next, first of all, I appreciate you giving as much time as you did.
Yes.
And hopefully we can get somebody in line to do that. And she's cross training a lot of her staff to do many of the things that that need to be done. And so as the corona thing moves forward, I'm sure that your last month here will be a memorable one.
Yes. Yeah. And the staff is doing a really good job, and we're working closely with Deanna. And I met with first responders this morning to just be reflective of kind of the situation. Yeah. And we're going to keep keeping you posted. And
all right, well, appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out.
The list. Muddy said everything that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But I want to tell you, Mom, the Latino community and the minorities, they're very proud of yourself, the service that you provide to the persons and the health department, you know, and the job that you've been doing since you became a board to the Dakota County is excellent. I mean, it's going to be hard. But it's going to be hard. Thank you very much for everything that you do for this county, and I'm telling you, we're going to miss you big time.
Yes, I know. I'm going to miss. I told them all. I'm going to definitely stay in touch because I know that there's big things happening and big things on the horizon, and I imagine my predecessor is going to have some fun things and under their belt as well. And so I appreciate that, and we have worked really hard to connect to our diverse community, and so I really appreciate that, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you. Good luck.
Board to approve chair to sign resolution 20C-004 requesting reimbursement for all costs incurred for project number ER-2237 culvert on 260th Street west of M Avenue in the amount of $9,216.13 from the State of Nebraska Federal Aid Emergency Road Relief Program. So since it's an emergency, or since it's a federal aid road, Nebraska will reimburse us for that project out there to the tune of $9,216. So we're just have to put our request in to be reimbursed for that project.
All right, I'll make a motion to sign resolution 20C-004.
Second. Oh, okay.
Yeah, evidently, J must not be a federal aid road.
J?
Yeah, because we put a big culvert in there.
Yeah, there aren't very many federal aid roads in Dakota County.
There are more than you think, but
that one must not be.
We did the county did themselves, but I mean,
and FEMA might reimburse us for that.
Oh.
But this. FEMA will not reimburse on a federal aid road.
Oh, really?
So Jolene's working with FEMA, and she's working with the state on federal aid projects.
Oh. Boy, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Tony, do you approve your motion?
Yeah, that was one.
Okay, Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin.
Yep. Board to approve chair to sign group resources health plan renewal document, the new insurance that we recently signed up for. What we're talking about there.
Can we get some more documents?
Nothing new. Just she put it all together.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. They've given the notices out and everything.
They were to go out with this last paycheck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the envelope with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got them.
I will make a motion for the chair to sign the renewal documents.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Commissioner committee reports. Anybody got anything to report on? All right, mailer emergency business?
None that I'm aware of.
All right, we'll go ahead and adjourn the commissioner meeting at this point and start our
1:31.
We've still got
40 minutes. Okay.
Do I need to make a motion to change this meeting at some point? I haven't really, ever since that's happened, we've been spent early twice.
Sir Stables, oh, you'd be surprised. You pull right around that stuff up there. The manager's
sign up. I'm probably joining the service or something.
That's our group. Figure out a way to recycle and use that for.
Okay, we're going to call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization.
You're starting.
No, the other three I signed.
Okay.
Yep.
I signed everything else.
We're on record. It is 1:42. Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. The only item on here is approval of the previous minutes for February 24th of 2020.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin? Yes. Move on to new business. Item A, Jeff Curry, regarding the homestead exemption application process being compromised.
Okay, so homesteads first. Okay.
Yes.
So I think one of them, the state just circumvented the whole process and took care of it for us. I think the letter came March 6th. Did we get you guys a copy of that?
Yeah.
So basically what happened here with Bailey's is they never bothered to file anything at all, according to statute and according to reg. Never once came into the courthouse, found out they were living, they split time between Arizona and here. So I found their property in Arizona, and the mailing address to Arizona is the same address they have here. So we met everything we had to do to send them an application, and they made no effort. So Teresa Kirby Smith, now I'm not going to blame the Baileys, have done what the state has been holding their hands through this whole process. And it's because Ruth, and it's my fault, Ruth and I kind of had it out a little bit about it, and she won't answer my questions, is how is it you can skip, and I listed every statute and every reg. How do you skip this? And my board not even see a single piece of paper on a homestead, and you're just going to give it to them. And they decided they didn't want to answer it, so they used the law like they can, and they went straight to Tony Fulton, who's the tax commissioner, who on this letter quotes statutes that are 458L, which is perfectly legal, and they can do that.
I don't know if that, but I have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have copies.
Yes.
No. I don't know. Kim, did you get one? I'll make sure I send copies.
Did you guys all get, did I copy this for
this,
everybody?
Yep. I got this letter.
No, I just got that this morning.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Okay. You need to read that?
I read it.
Okay. So they kind of went around the whole loop and backdoored it and said, we're just going to do this. And I really don't know anything we can do for you guys as a board. I mean, even if Kim writes a letter, I don't know what it does for us. Nothing, really.
Yeah.
They've made up their mind. What I'm losing sleep over is they turned another veteran down who lived in Regency, where the Snell is. Not Regency, what is that called there? Right off the... Oh, shoot, right where Scott's brother used to live.
Redbird Lane, that area.
Redbird, yeah. Yeah. And when we sent that one to the state and said they told them they can't live there, so he's paying his mortgage on his house he bought. and now he's paying rent someplace else, and they turned him down. And he had letters from doctors. He had a letter from the city. He had everything he needed, and the state told him no. So that's what makes me lose sleep at night over the state of Nebraska getting into county business. We've turned more veterans down for being late this year than any time ever. And they understand, and they know why. There's always been a reason. We've turned people down. We had one where a lady's daughter had cancer. So they were late, and then the mom finally got it in, but the state said no. But for this, a person who never even tried to submit late, never once picked up the phone and called my office for months, not once tried anything. When we did everything we have to do for them, the state's just going to go ahead and let them off. And that takes equalization, and we might as well throw it out the window and do whatever the hell we want to do. How's that fair? Equalization is as simple as whether we like it or not, or whether I like the statute or not, I'm going to treat everybody the same. I don't care if you're Leonard Gill or the little old man that lives out in a shack that doesn't even have plumbing on it. That's what I do. And the state doesn't give a shit about that.
They don't care.
And I wanted that on there too, so when Ruth listens to it, she can hear it. And if they're cowards and they can't answer my question as to why you can break every statute and reg in our book,
so anything the legislation can do on that, or anything that...
I think now that Tony signed off on it, and he doesn't know anything about it, he doesn't, you know, it's Lincoln. She hands him a piece of paper, he signs it, and we're hosed.
So our hands are tied at this
point. Yeah, so, and you know what the worst part about this is? This gentleman is a veteran. I don't have a thing against the Baileys. He never files anyway. It's always his wife. 2020 went perfect. You want to know why? She filed it. She does it all the time. The only 19 stuff we finally got after Teresa got involved, his wife does it. He doesn't come in here. He never files. He never fills out the paperwork. So I don't care if he was in a hospital or not at the time. There's two applicants. It's the same house. She also is an applicant. And if applicant A or applicant B is available to apply, then they should apply. She's applied for twice now, out of three times. They haven't been here very long. They came from over Sergeant Bluff, maybe. But she applied the first year after we got it explained to them. She applied again for 2020. But they were busy in Arizona and forgot. And that is a USPS issue. That is not a Dakota County Assessment Office or Dakota County Board issue. You know, they put a forwarding address on it, then you go to their house, and when it gets to Arizona, it goes right back to the same forwarding address, and it comes back to me. And you can see the envelopes in the packet I put together. Everything we've done, every reg, every statute, every envelope of what we've tried to do with this.
But they didn't get it? It came back, it didn't get forwarded?
Yeah, they didn't have to prove it or anything. They claimed they didn't. Oh, actually, I think... we did prove it. We actually dug through and found it got sent back to us once on a return to sender, you know, forwarding address deal, but they didn't give us an address to forward it to.
So they're sitting down in Arizona and never got the notification.
Yeah.
It's time to do this.
Yeah,
thing again.
And they know they had to because they applied the year before and they applied on time this year. I mean, if I got 100% exemption, you better bet I'm not going to forget about it.
Yeah. Are we required to notify them to file this paperwork?
And we do, and we did. Yeah, we sent it. We actually highlight it, show them everything they have to do to fill it out.
All right.
But they didn't get it, so that's part of the problem.
So that's part of the problem.
Okay.
Did they want to get it?
Yeah, they should have wanted it. Yeah.
But you say they sent it back.
Oh, no, the post office did. The
post office didn't deliver it to them.
Yeah, the post office didn't. I don't know why. I mean, we've sent other stuff to that address, and it goes. But like I said, both, and I've got their property record and all their mailing addresses for both their Arizona property and their Dakota County property. This, to me, is just the state getting involved in county business and us not getting a chance to have even a say in this. would have been nice for you guys to at least get the application, you know, and we could look at it and maybe review it. And I'm not, I mean, I'm a veteran too. I don't very often admit that, but I was in two wars from between 1990 and 1998. So, but I don't claim it, I don't do it, because I never did as much as any of these older guys have done. That's how I look at it. But I would probably do anything I can for a veteran, that said. Hmm. But what I have a hard time doing is dealing with this. When the state of Nebraska comes in and overrules the county board. And that's all that document, that's all that letter is. If they want to see statutes, that looks cute. I can write a letter too. I'll fill up 5 pages of statutes and regs that deal with homestead and all of them that they missed and didn't do.
So what you're saying is you should have sent them a notice of rejection, then they should have come before the board, and then we would have had the chance.
That's what we just started, yeah, and before, yeah. And I told them I was doing that, and then she just circumvented me and sent this. And that was the same thing with this one. So the other one, we might as well just approve, because Teresa's involved, Teresa and Ruth are involved, so... It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter that we're in the right. We're going to get, we actually just did get the 458L last week. So now I'm sure it's somewhere between Ruth's desk and Tony Fulton's desk. So we'll be getting another letter. So to save everybody time, we might as well approve both of them. I disagree with it. We're treating people differently now than other people, and I hate that more than anything else. It's not right, but because there's people that need it. Mm-hmm. And it's not everybody that has a home in Arizona to go to and stuff like that. And he's a veteran, so he's earned it, but I got people who can't afford that are veterans here too, that we wouldn't have given this to them.
Are they doing it for the Fox Holdens? Are they going back?
Just 2019. Fox Holdens, I believe it's just 19.
Okay.
So it'll be 19 on both of them. I believe both have filed appropriately for 2020.
Well, I understand our hands are tied with the Baileys, and it sounds like it's going to be the same with the Fox Holdens.
Yep.
I guess I would rather let it at least play out, even if the state is going to do it the same way. I'd rather have them commit to it before we commit to it.
There's no action item on.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It's possibly delaying the inevitable, but I would rather have that on the state's shoulders to circumvent the process than us to start circumventing it. I would rather have us follow.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And here's and it's kind of funny how all of our stuff got faxed over, and like Fox Hovens was faxed from the state, their 458. The state's furnishing them all these documents, and it was all on the same 2 days, the 24th and the 25th. But that's okay. That's kind of my own fault, because I argued with them, and they don't like it when you argue with facts. They just won't answer you.
So basically, all veterans, if they have medical conditions, or all veterans are eligible.
As far as I'm concerned, they're exempt. I don't care.
Why do they even have to file if they're a veteran?
They shouldn't.
It's automatic.
That's a very good point. I think the state. I mean, that would be the point to fight it. It's like, well, if you want to do it just because somebody's a veteran, I understand that. Well, let's write the legislation the appropriate way. Don't give me a reg that says this date by this date, they don't send it in, it's over. When you're just going to give him a 458L and tell him to come in. So, and it's only the people who call the state, and then the state intervenes. So we got people that we have denied appropriately based on statutes and regs that I feel terrible about now that aren't getting it.
So every year, I mean, once you're a veteran, you don't have to.
You don't even have to turn. Yeah, you give us that one piece of paper that gives me, you know, your amount disabled on
right.
it.
Okay.
And once Billy has it in his file, I have it in their file, it's every year.
They still have to come in and file.
They still have to file the 458, and then it even goes over to their spouse. So, you know, whoever it is, if the spouse passes, it goes to the widow or the widower or however you want.
So it's not income dependent or anything like that?
No, income doesn't play a role. Whether you have four houses or one or it doesn't. I still think it should a little bit, but... But that's kind of what it does for us, and I mean it would save everybody a lot of time and a lot of paperwork just to say once they're proven veteran,
you know, strange.
Have the VA office send a letter out once a year reminding us of the however many we have, and we have quite a few really, mm-hmm. you know, between all of our small towns. We're losing some, you know, the real veterans, the older guys.
Well. Don't poo-poo your own service because, yeah. you know, these people that served in the last two wars were just like the older fellows too. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, they're coming home. Yeah, they're versus the mm-hmm. roadside bombs and stuff like that. So, but it's, yeah. you know, and I'm all for the you know, how we're doing, but it shouldn't be circumvented because as a board and as an assessment office, we're trying to follow... The guidelines that, frankly, they set them, they passed them down to us. We didn't set this. Mm-hmm. We're just following them whether we like it or not and trying to make sure everybody's treated badly or good, whatever mm-hmm. the statute says.
Correct.
The same. So
Correct.
They can't, mm-hmm. yeah, so they can't, you know, say Joe Blow got this. Or,
yeah.
And now they put us at jeopardy. If these people talk, I think if they talk or mention something to somebody, you know how it goes in the county. Next thing you know, I got Channel 14 in my office mm. again. And it's one of those deals where, you know, there's not much to say other than it wasn't our decision and it was a mandate from the state.
Yeah.
If that happens, if you guys get a call, then we'll just quote the letter, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That sure. covers
yeah.
us?
That's what I would.
Yeah. Yeah. State tells us to do something, we're... Yeah.
So, I mean, based on that, we'll do the correction for Mr. Bailey, and then if you want to wait until the next meeting for a letter or something, we can on Oxhoe. It's up to the board, however you want to handle it.
I would feel better waiting.
Yeah.
Because my recommendation is still
There's no action here today.
Yeah, okay, good.
They haven't... The proper thing would have been for them to come to us mm-hmm. to appeal the rejection, and mm-hmm. that process got eliminated.
Yeah.
And now you have to file a tax correction.
Yeah.
So that will come to us.
Yes.
So
there's nothing for us to take action
on. Right.
Okay.
It's not until we get the tax correction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
All right. We'll wait for a letter on that one.
Okay.
And I think, is that the only two? These are the only two homestead items I
right.
had on
yeah.
state.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Well, you're still up, Jeff. B, omitted property recovery of back year taxes owed on parcel 2202-73931, 2200-59985, 2200-05265.
Oh.
And this is just an explanation, too. There was no action to take again.
I didn't even forgot about that. I didn't bring anything with me. What this is omitted property. We did not have a building permit on these properties. And as it turns out, we kind of went back through all of our small towns and stuff and made contact with the city offices. Mm-hmm. And the one, as far as the deal with Jackson, South Sioux does Jackson, so they think South Sioux sends them to us, South Sioux does Jackson. So we didn't get it. We didn't have it. So in our process of calling everyone, we also found out Emerson did not know they were supposed to, or did not send them to us. I guess I should say they didn't know, but that's what I hear. So we've got, those are a combination of Jackson and Emerson on there. And I don't know what we can do with them. I mean, we know they were there as of January 1, one of them in 2018, one of them in 2019, and then the rest are 2019s. So I don't know if we go back
You can, Jeff.
We can. See, I wasn't sure if we can or if we couldn't or what the board even wants to do.
You have to prove the existence. No limits on past years omitted real property not properly reported may be placed on prior year's tax list, except county assessor must have proof of existence in back years. So if you have...
We've got our aerial imagery showing nothing, because we've got 18 and 19. So we can show where there was nothing there, and then show the whole house there, car. And then our 19 imagery is the new Eagle View, so I can actually tell you what kind of car it is. You know, I can zoom right down in on who's living there.
Could you even use an inspector's report that says they have occupancy? I mean, could...
Yeah, that, and it would be, well...
I don't know.
Trying to think, yes, there have, through the process, the mortgage, there's either an appraisal had to be done by an appraisal company, or a building inspector was sent out to it.
The building inspector, usually before they let you move in, will give you a occupancy certificate.
Before
property get moved into.
Yeah, so there's probably records we can find too to help support it out there too if we wanted to pursue it. And I thought I'd ask you guys first before, you know, taxpayers should know if you build a house, you should know if it's, you've been living in it for a year.
They
applied. I think every one of these people or their contractor applied to the village or the city.
Yeah, they did it right.
And they failed to give it to our
to us, so then we didn't get it.
And it just, and none of them were in South Sioux, Dakota City, or, I mean, places we've been doing all of our pickup work in. So
the Hornstein listed isn't me, is it?
What's that?
The Hornstein listed isn't me, is it?
I don't think so, no. Oh, no, that's Jackson on the Hill. That's Yeah, you're innocent. You're innocent until proven guilty. Nope.
What did they do on the Hill, Jackson? They never been nothing built up there.
A building. His building, So, but I think we actually, that one there, we had it partially picked up. Because that one we saw in Jackson. So that one we started it late and didn't get it closed when we should have, because we didn't get the permit when it was first going in.
Well, I thought Joe was, O'Neill was a building inspector out in the Jackson area.
He does rural.
They're both rural.
Oh, are they? Yeah, so I don't know, because I usually deal with Joe on outside the perimeter stuff. Well, that one, the one that's been there would be...
That's within a mile. It's
the oldest one.
It's over the railroad tracks.
It's a mile.
So over, yeah, because it's over.
So it's in Jackson zoning, isn't it?
I would think.
I believe the guy who actually reviewed that would have been from South Sioux.
So like in our place, the Pella place, we need to go to South Sioux. We don't need to go to Jackson.
If you're within 2 miles of Jackson, I'm trying to remember how far.
A mile, I think, out of Jackson. 2 miles here, but a mile in Jackson.
Oh, is it only a mile in Jackson? Oh.
Where
I
see you, right?
I think it's based on the class of the city.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Jackson City limits go all the way out to the Ethanol plant.
But they zoned that. They brought that in. They went out and grabbed it.
Well, they zoned like South Sioux does.
Yeah. It's a beautiful line. Looks like a sandhill's crane, really.
So all right, boy.
When that happens, tax season paid in arrears.
Kind of figured it out, too.
When the house is done next year is when you really get the full effect of those taxes.
Exactly.
Somebody that's maybe been, so they weren't really expecting it for a year, but in your second year, then it kind of comes to light.
It's usually about the year they move in, because when they start building it, you can do it in 6 months, I believe. That's about a reasonable amount of time, but it just depends on how long they take to get it done.
So they'd have to pay, they'd owe for 19.
Yes. Yep. Yep, they are definitely.
Well, that wouldn't be unreasonable.
No, just 19 to 20 will. I'm thinking that would be the safe bet if we decide to go that way. But I don't know. Like I said, they did attempt to do it right, or whoever their contractor was did. It's just the failure is sharing building permits, which doesn't help us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it, I mean, it would be terrible to get double whammy with 2 years of taxes at once. I would hope there's some.
That'd be a pretty. Because the one house is really nice. It's that would probably end up being about $10,000, $11,000.
Oh my God. That would be good.
That's a big bill.
I can't be sure when he moved in, but I don't think it'd be much better a year if it was.
Yeah, he's close. Yeah. So that was those. I didn't know, like I said, I just wanted to give it to the board to think before I do anything to go back. I just, you know, we're putting them on their end. We went and picked them up. We're putting everything in. So they're on. We're getting them for 2020. And we've contacted everybody, so we've got the permits coming again. We gave them 2 addresses to send it to now. And
good. Are they okay with it? Have you talked to these guys?
No, I haven't been out to talk to them yet. We just kind of found it late last week, middle of whenever it was. I'm trying, when did I send Christy down to talk to Joe? It was one day last week when we found it. And we had all of our permissive exempts got kicked back, so we've been pretty much all 4 of us working on that. So that whole pack Jones sent, they were looking, if somebody didn't fill out something right, or it's just the state, it's that 4-year deal of the state really, they looked at every single one of our submissions this year. It was us and Dixon County, and I remember Amy called, very upset about it too. And it's like, it's a church, it's a parsonage, what do they want? And then we got to go find out if the minister at the church has a contract that he has to stay in the parsonage. If he doesn't, then it's not a parsonage. They're just making up stuff as they go that they want us to start trying to enforce. Yet, I guarantee you one thing, they won't back us up if we try to take somebody to turn. It'll be me and Kim sitting in there twiddling our thumbs. State will be nowhere to be seen. But they kicked them all back and want explanations, so we've been on the phone with all of those people, just re-verifying stuff again and getting that right. So I don't know if we got to resend that. I think we have to resend that whole pack, Joan.
We got safety meeting.
I guess, in regards to the submitted property, we've taken the steps to get it remedied between us and the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm fine maybe if you just talk to these guys and see what we can get worked out, and we'll just address it later. I'm fine with that unless someone has a letter.
We'll call them. I think it's only 3 or 4. Unless they found 3. Another one while I was gone. So we can do that. We'll call them and talk to them.
Okay.
We'll move on to C. Tax exemption on real and personal property by qualifying organizations. This has to do with the tax exempt statuses that we talked about at the last meeting as well.
So that's the permit. I jumped ahead of you. I'm sorry. The permissive exempts are, so right now we've met with a couple. So we're done with the church that has the giant lot on G Street. They came in and brought me all their evidence and brought me their picture and their money. They've been on a 3-year drive for what they've collected. And I think they had to, they showed me the new architect plan where they had to cut it down a little bit. I worked out a deal with him on his calendars and sharing that so I can keep them in my office. They have a lot of activities out there. According to his calendar, so he's going to keep. He's going to bring me the old last year's, and he's keeping next year's, and then either he or somebody, one of the commissioners, will drop it off monthly, give us a monthly calendar to put in his file. So they're fine. I'll call that, you know, a dominant use or a predominant use.
Is that the one on 17th Street?
Yeah. When you come out of 17th, you see the big empty. They did put in a little parking lot and a sign down there now. And then the other church that we had, his parcels are actually 2. I can combine that and make it 1, and then we can make the whole thing exempt.
Is that the Gospel Lighthouse one?
They're going to be similar to that.
Yeah, because they had multiple.
Because he has a whole bunch that have street or his own roads and access.
Yeah.
So what I want to do what we're doing with the Lutheran church, I still have to, I haven't come in, but we've already looked at it and know what'll fix it.
Okay.
Glad Tidings is going to be very, very similar because he's got a whole bunch of lots right there. I don't know why it's all split up like mm-hmm. that, but if he agrees to letting me combine that, anything that's contiguous, I can make all of that exempt. And then I need to talk to him about some of these other ones in the city that aren't contiguous to see what they're doing with them. So those I don't know about, but a majority of them will be fixed.
Yeah, and they were good about bringing evidence into us, so I think they probably all have pretty good evidence.
Yeah, so I bet he'll bring me something.
And the daycare deal, how'd that come out?
Yeah, the daycare.
What's that?
The daycare.
Oh, that one, we've only been able to talk to members of the church. And it's not mixed messages, but what we found out so far, they're not part of the church. It's not a church entity. She has her own name. The 501c3 is filed under her own business name and not the church's. So we went in and looked at the room they use, and there's, you know how we do that? We do a split. We'll say, well, it's a 200 square foot room, but the church is 40,000 square or whatever, yeah. You know, and then we... There's not enough money there, so I'm of the opinion, based on what the church says, they're not getting paid rent for it. There was a couple of donations. One of them was very old. And so I'm of the opinion we leave the church alone, and I'll just exempt the church separately, and it'll be up to Odell's to fight with the state on their IRS stuff as far as what they need to do. And I know the church, is they've talked about taking their own actions too, so... I think at this point, just for us to stay out of that, it's less than $50. So my recommendation would be they don't, it's not part of the church. A lot of them don't want it to be part of the church. They certainly don't want to be taxed for a Sunday school room.
If they don't pay rent on it and they don't pay utilities, yeah. But if they don't pay anything on it, how is it not part of the church? I don't understand that.
I don't know. When you talk to them, you're right. I know. I mean, it's hard for us
it
to
is very,
the church.
Huh? Yeah, and I agree.
So I would say my recommendation on that is we leave that little room alone mm-hmm. because the church still uses it, too. Mm-hmm. Well,
and then
they
can
have funerals over there.
Yeah.
They still use it, too. Right. So yeah. it's got a religious
And like you say, on the other end of it, they can work, deal with the state, and they can figure out, but it's not an issue for us to decide here.
No, I say that church is exempt. So I think that cleans up all of our church issues.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that will be open is I need to talk more with Glad Tidings, and they have not been in, but we'll reach out again.
Okay.
And like I said, I already know we're going to fix a bunch of it
anyway,
just to combine it. We've done that in the past to help people out and get things taken care of.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's an update on those. I don't think we have any other.
Kevin?
No.
Earl? We do. What?
List collection. Correction.
So with this, are we okay waiting until after we hear from Glad Tidings before we approve the
I put it back on the agenda.
I think that's probably best.
Yeah, I can put it back on the next agenda.
Yeah, because I'll just bring them in and just change it initially. Okay. Changes
change
on it.
Change it to approval.
And it's not time sensitive.
Okay.
We got time.
And I think the rest of them we're about done with. I think hopefully we're good. One other one. I was going to ask the board about the DHHS building. The state has been asking me questions about it. And I know we have some of the department here, and we have some people there. So there's a rent exchange or something. Or is it we pay them rent? Do they do anything for us? Or
we're required to house them.
We're required
to house them. And they're off-site, so we're paying $6,800 a year towards their rent.
But it's because we don't have capacity to hold them. So it's not, okay. Because I'm trying to get away from that one, too, get them off of that. I don't know what, they picked that one up, and I'm like, well, it's an exempt entity that I think owns the building, and most of the stuff in there I thought was exempt, and I'm like, if it's us in there, we're exempt, so I'll let you know.
Some of them have moved out to that new place next.
what's it called, Cornhusker Plaza, or right between Siouxland Federal Credit Union and
Oh, over by Bird's.
Yeah, there's part of DHHS has now moved over there, so there's another floor opened up, and I'm not sure what. I thought it was another program that's in there. But.
Okay, which would be good. So I still kind of consider it religious, and if we're not able to, it's not anybody's fault. I mean, it's unless the state wants to build us a new courthouse, we accept it, but I'm pretty sure they'll say no. Okay. All right, I'll let you know what I find out. Okay. That's the only one I'm worried about them kicking back again.
Okay.
All right, you're still up, Jeff.
Yep.
Thank you.
Still up. You're still up. We got one more for you.
No, we don't have any.
No,
we
there
don't.
Are none.
Okay, no,
no tax
okay, corrections. All right, very good.
No, I didn't have, I, well, hold on, I didn't have
no.
any.
No, there are none. I just left it on there in case there was at the last minute.
Oh, okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, excellent. We'll be next time.
Hey, Jeff, I have a question. Do you really got that much money on the FNM Bank, or you got connections at the FNM Bank?
No, they don't even. I walk in there and the alarm goes off.
What you got? I don't have them.
Oh, see, that's why the alarm goes off. Oh, you got it. You tell them you saw that I had one. All you gotta do is you walk around and act real cool, sneak in an office, and then grab it and then sneak out.
I know the lady there that he can give him chicken.
Yeah, I swear.
That's how coronavirus spreads.
Yeah, this is how. She's trying to give me the coronavirus.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet. Thanks
man. Jeff.
We're sponsored. This Estimate Office is sponsored.
All right, so that was the end of new business. We'll move on to mail and or emergency business. I think really the only mail was this letter from the state granting the exemption.
Yep.
We'll move on to public comment. We have no public comment, so we will adjourn. It is 2:17.
Thank you, Kevin. Good job.
Oh. Well, you know, if DHHS needs...